afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, hello and welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Gary Lucy.
And I'm talking like this today.
This is great. Well, that was smooth. That was smooth.
Wasn't bad.
Smoothing it out.
It was okay.
Smoothing it out.
It's never going to get perfect, Gary.
No, it's
fine. I mean, if it's going to be perfect, then we'll just record it once, we'll put it on a loop, and we can shove it in every week.
Navajo blanket.
That's what we'll do.
Shove it in every week. Success, key to a successful marriage.
I don't know what that means at all. I don't know what you're talking about. What's Navajo blanket mean?
No.
That sounds like a sex act. What'd you do? Like, you do Navajo blanket?
The old Navajo blanket.
You know I did.
That's where you... when they're making the blanket, they always leave a little flaw in there.
Okay.
Because, you know, because only, you know,
right.
God is perfect.
So okay. Must, yeah.
Anyway. I thought that was Persian rugs. Do they? The Navajos also do that?
Matt Belknap's here.
Hi.
That could be. You know, I didn't know that was a Persian rug thing. I know that those Persian rug places are always going out of business.
Yeah.
They've been...
Because only Allah is a perfect businessman.
Exactly. This one has been going out of business by my house for like 12 years. They're only hanging on if I can get a rug. But this is great. We have a special guest this week, so let's not do too much grab-assing.
But I do want to play this drop today via iTunes. I say drop because that's what the kids say. And Matt, you're probably going to have to play a little bit of the intro, and then we'll jump right in. Yep. And I'm just going to tell you right up front, hey, who doesn't want to hear Tom Cruise sing?
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
This is from Rock of Ages, everybody. This sounds familiar. I'm not sure what this song is.
Alec Baldwin on guitar.
Yep. Russell Brand on drums. Generic and cheesy.
That's Tom Cruise?
Yeah, jump it up in the mix a little bit. See where.
That sounds okay.
Tom Cruise meets Pro Tools.
Yeah.
Whatever they do. I don't know anything about it. What's the character's name? Tracy Jacks?
Stacy Jacks.
Stacy Jacks.
Stop listening to this now?
Yeah, we can stop. There's another. We can add that to our list of actors who sing.
All right.
Tom Cruise.
Look,
it's a win-win.
I swung back. I'm like pro Tom Cruise somehow.
I'm pro Tom Cruise. I always,
maybe this will change it, though.
I always have been. But this is a win-win. He's coming off Ghost Protocol. He does something silly. If people are going to like it or they're not going to like it, I'm sure it's going to be tongue-in-cheek. But either way.
Why is that a win-win?
Because he gets to do something. For him, it's a win-win.
It's a win.
It's a win for him.
Who's getting the other win that you're talking about?
Matt, it's win-win.
That's kind of a blind spot for him, though. Like, I have a great sense of humor. You know, like,
that's
he's,
right.
Little, he's yeah. like a little intense and when yeah. he tries to be too funny.
Yeah.
Like in Tropic.
And he also thinks he can do everything, and this track proves that that is not the case.
But he likes to try everything, and I do like that.
Hey, that just sounded kind of weirdly feminine. Like, that's what was
off-putting
about.
But I mean,
Matt can't tell the boys from the girls these days with the hair and everything.
Yeah, with the hair and the tats. I've never seen Rock of Ages, the stage play, but I'm sure the whole thing's...
It's terrible.
Cheese ball and terrible.
Yeah,
so this is
super corny.
This is right. That's why this is win-win. It's right in there.
Okay, well.
Did you guys see White Trash Wins Lotto back in the day?
No, I never did.
Oh, it's really good. Yeah. I wish I'm going to pretend I'm watching that if I see Rock of Ages.
Okay.
I had a quick tip for the Rock Solid Book Club.
Excellent.
I picked this up this weekend. On Celestial Music and Other Adventures in Listening by the great novelist and essayist Rick Moody. I was reading a review of it, and the guy, but this guy's really slamming Rick Moody. I love Rick Moody, and he's writing about magnetic fields and Wilco and stuff. Like, I got to get this book. And then I got in there and remember, like, oh wait, I hate Rick Moody too. It's Michael Chabon. I always mix those two up, but Rick Moody's good. He wrote The Ice Storm and a lot of good stuff in here. But Otis Redding, and there's a big like 60-page diatribe against drum machines, but it's fine. It's fine. But because we love drum machines, right?
Do we?
I hate those real drummers. They're unreliable.
Oh, no, no, no. Those guys are great.
No way.
No, real drummers are great. They show up on time.
Gary, I forgot to tell you, we did not book the TR-808 for a guest.
Oh, no.
We actually got a real
drummer. A real drummer as a guest today, Gary.
Really?
Yeah. He's right next to you.
Oh, this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was. Oh, how do you do?
Hello.
This is, introduce yourself, guest.
My name is Tony Thaxton. I play drums in Motion City Soundtrack.
Tony Thaxton is here on Rock Solid. Yay. We have a guest. We have a real rock star for a guest.
I didn't want to.
I don't know about rock star.
what do we say? You played on the Vans Warped Tour, right?
Many, many times.
Would a non-rock star do that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Could we say?
Actually, that might be mostly what's on that tour.
You are living your dream, playing, making a living, making and playing music.
That's fairly accurate.
And
yes.
A lot of people don't get to live their dream, so that's pretty good.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
I'm not complaining.
You're in the top 1% of anybody who's ever picked up drumsticks, probably. You know, so that's a good thing. And you know, which is fine there. But these guys are amazing. I'm gonna be honest. Like I try to pay attention. I get the magazines and the websites and everything.
Right.
And I was aware of Motion City Soundtrack, but I would conflate you guys always with Murder City Devils.
Yes.
And I was like, oh yeah, I know what that's about. You know, so I don't need to pay any attention to that. I'm like, oh, but it turns out two different groups.
Yeah, that was, yes.
And
don't confuse them with the Rock of Ages soundtrack.
No. And Motion City Soundtrack is awesome. They're fantastic.
Well, let's let people know how awesome they are. Can we?
Yeah, let me say this. They have,
sure, go ahead.
A new album out this week on Epitaph Records. You think Epitaph could, there's kind of an Epitaph like house sound, kind of like a poppy punk sort of thing, and that's definitely in there. But do you have Everyone Will Die queued up by any chance?
Yep.
Liz, is this the first single? Or this is,
no.
Oh.
I don't even know if it'll be a single. We'll see.
This is what it's streaming.
It's a band favorite.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, cool.
Listen how gorgeous this is.
Let's hear it.
That's all. Okay. Door number seven.
Song without drums on purpose.
Yes. What are you doing?
Shit. Come on.
They're coming. They're coming.
I was just so taken by this, but will I hear another one after this?
Here we go.
Got some strings and accordions and stuff in there somewhere. Tony, what's another track that you would pick if? I just stepped right on. I just said, oh, you got to hear this.
What about True Romance?
That is the first real single.
Oh.
And Timelines is kind of sort of a single right now, too. We did two like pre-releases before it's out.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, we just shot a video for True Romance.
Well, let's hear True Romance.
Let's hear True Romance. What do we...
Better believe it's true, you know I do. I do you. Better believe it's true, you know I do.
Now there's the drums we should have had first time out, Gary.
Sorry. We'll fix all this in post.
You picked a song where it's all loot.
I'm a screw up of epic proportions, a walking hand grenade.
Oh, my theme song.
Hypomatic, a dime store dramatic, a conduit for pain. She said,
not play at all. We don't want the kids to steal it.
Too late.
From looking, because I didn't know anything about Motion City soundtrack, because I only listened to Bad Company. So I had to do my research. But you guys have worked with a lot of people I know, producing-wise. You've worked with Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 quite a few times. Quite a few in my book. You know how I rule. Win-win, quite a few. Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne. Rick Ocasek from The Cars.
Ocasek, technically. Well, I found out from him himself.
Oh, how did that go? How did that go down? Hello, Mr. Ocasek. That's Ocasek. And then did you say, yeah, Rick should also have a K on the end of it, too, but you're a pretentious nut job.
Pat, get off his cast over there.
So who produced the new album? Did you guys self-produce?
Well, we co-produced, us and this guy named Ed Ackerson.
It's actually Ackerson. Sorry. Go ahead.
He's a Minneapolis guy. He used to be in a band called Polera back in the day. Actually,
Polera, we have played that here once upon a time. Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you played.
Yeah, Source of Light. That song is great. I love that. Anyway.
Yeah, he's
a genius.
Really awesome. We had worked with him a little bit in the past. We had done some like acoustic EPs. With like alternate versions of our songs and some compilations we've done like covers for and stuff that we really liked working with the guy. And I was telling you before the show, we kind of went ahead and just recorded a record without answering to anyone because we were in between labels, and we knew we liked working with him, and we're like, let's just go in and start working with him. And we couldn't be happier with how it came out.
Great, great. It sounded great. It sounds great.
It sounds amazing. And, you know, this is your fifth release, right?
Yes.
And you guys are just, you know, it seems like you're growing every time. You're just, like, expanding. It's just so melodic and, like, you know, simple but complex and everything like that. I
love the singer's voice.
Really think you guys are onto something here.
Thank you.
Just stick with it.
Thank you.
Now, the new album, Go, drops this week. I believe on
a
the
week
12th,
from today. Yeah.
Week from today that we're
the
recording.
Week that this airs. Yes. That'll
this
also.
You mean this isn't live?
Yeah. No, this is not going out live. No.
Sorry, but and then you're heading off on a tour. Well, you're heading off to rehearse.
Yes.
But then you're going to be playing. Where are you going to be playing?
Well, we'll be kind of all over the U.S. We're starting out here on the West Coast. The record comes out on the 12th. I think on the 14th we start in San Diego, and we'll actually be, for anybody in L.A., we'll be playing Amoeba on release day.
Nice.
And then we'll be at the Troubadour that Friday, the 15th.
All right.
And so then
you doing a signing at it, maybe? You just playing?
I believe we're doing a signing as well, yeah.
A little meet and greet, shake some, press some flesh.
Pat, are you going to show up with your Amoeba bag? And
no, I'm going to get Tony to sign my vinyl that he gave me right today.
Oh, okay.
I don't care about those other guys. I just need the one guy.
All right.
Put it in a frame and put it on my wall.
Yeah.
I'm going to put him right between Meatloaf and Dweezil Zappa.
Awesome.
So definitely,
my comfort zone.
Yeah, it's right there, which is a good description of yourself.
So let me ask real quick, how hands-on was Rick Ocasek in the studio?
Yeah. Here's what I'll say about Rick. He's
tall.
he worked on, that was for Even If It Kills Me, our third record.
Yeah.
And we worked with multiple producers on that record.
Right.
And
that's the one Schlesinger also worked
on. Yes. And we found out that Rick was interested in working with us, which we were very excited about.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to do the whole record. So he listened to demos and picked, I think, 5 or 6 songs that he wanted to do. And I will say, he picked, like, I think we all agreed were probably like the best 5 or 6 songs from the record.
So he has a good ear.
Yeah. But then kind of just, then we just sort of recorded the songs.
Okay.
Like, there wasn't a whole lot of playing around with things. It did happen, but it was kind of like, all right, I want you guys to do these songs. Now go do them.
Okay.
Will he tell some car stories from back in the day, or is that?
He didn't really tell too many stories.
No.
He sat around. He always had a keyboard in front of him, and he was always either just kind of tinkering around on the keyboard or doodling on a sketch pad.
Huh.
Well, he's an artist,
like Steve Allen. You know, that's when he would tell those stories.
Well, then Adam Schlesinger, who also worked on the same album, he got the songs that Rick Ocasek didn't want to produce. And how did those go?
Adam was super hands-on. That guy is amazing. I think he's just such a like pop genius.
Yeah.
And he was just very into trying things. Like, let's add this acoustic guitar here. And then, but he also was totally willing to admit if that sucked then after we tried it.
Oh, cool.
He was like, okay, you guys could take off. I'll just finish this.
Yeah, he was the opposite of Rick Ocasek.
Yeah, he was very, very hands-on.
And now, is Motion City an actual place?
Where no.
Oh. That's,
is it a movie? Because I have not seen the movie.
No, but in the earlier days, like when our first record came out, we were having a problem of when the record was getting in stores, the people were putting it in the soundtrack section.
Oh, boy. Oh no.
That's not good.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with the name?
That is a story from before my time, the early days of when Justin and Josh, our two guitar players, were starting up. Josh's brother had come up with the name. I don't even know how he came up with it exactly. He actually wanted to open up some sort of shop. I don't even know what it was going to be.
Water bits.
but he that never happened. And and Josh was liked the name and said, hey, can we steal that from you? Because we can't come up with a good name.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't want to open up some weird thing that you, then you're stuck with that name all your life.
Please welcome Pinkberry. It's like a yogurt store.
Panera Bread.
Yeah.
Well, let's just get into it. Then our topic for today is going to be all things drumming, your favorite drums, your favorite drum tracks from songs, anything drums.
We got a bona fide drummer here. Let's hear what he has to say.
Yeah, he can tell us. He can say, I like this. I don't like your pick. I like these guys. Are you going to name it? You might talk about some of your favorite drummers.
Cool.
And we will too.
Excellent.
Let's get into it.
You want to kick us off?
Oh, you want me to start?
All sure, right. Why not?
Let's see. I try to do a mix of things that, you know, I feel like everyone knows of and people like, but okay. Then I also wanted to throw in some stuff that maybe not everyone has heard of that's
okay, cool.
A little weirder. And you see on there a song called New Nathan Detroits?
Oh, wow.
I do.
Yeah, that is, you can probably start around 20 seconds in. It's one of like my favorite drum intros ever by one of my favorite drummers ever. This is a band called Braid. Drummer's name is Damon Atkinson.
This is Braid, you're saying?
Braid, yes.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
With that
real
drumming.
He's probably, well, maybe my favorite drummer ever, if not one of, and
aren't you your
right now
drummer?
He's...
Aren't you your favorite drummer?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right.
But I steal from him a lot,
okay,
I'll admit
good.
That. And now he's mostly just tour managing other bands, and he's such a good
that's
drummer.
A sad thing. That's yeah. What happened. That's what Tommy Ramone did.
Oh, yeah.
He left the band after three albums and then became their manager.
Well, that's, you know, it's just the way it goes. On some other, if the universe is infinite, there's some other planet where, you know, he's the greatest drummer of all time.
Yeah.
So how did you come upon Braid? Like, what's your relationship
they,
with that?
They were a band around in, like, mid, late 90s. I got into them. That record was called Frame and Canvas that was on it, and they had records before that, but that was the first time I got into them, and they sadly broke up shortly after that. Don't. But like every other band right now, have recently gotten back together.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I just kind of knew them from going to shows a lot as a teenager, and just saw them and loved them.
Where'd you grow up?
At that time, I lived in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Cool. And what made you pick up the drums as opposed to some other instrument?
Because
and I guess you don't really pick up the drums.
No. You can, but it's not
one at a time.
Because of my dad. My dad plays. And
oh, cool.
I just kind of grew up around it. He just mostly played in like cover bands on the weekends. And so I was just always around it and just kind of picked it up from watching him.
So is he a proud dad or is he like, I don't really think you should get into this. This is music racket to bed.
No. My parents are about as supportive as can possibly be.
Almost to the point of annoying. Okay.
But they're great. You know, it's awesome to have them be that.
No, that
into
is great.
It.
That is terrific.
Anytime we're within 4 hours from where they live, they drive out to the shows. And yeah.
That's excellent. All right, cool. Gary, you're up. What do you got in the canon?
So I went with all lady drummers.
Oh, that's you really did?
Yeah, yeah. Just
that's great. I'm glad you did that.
For some reason, and started off with she might be the best drummer in rock. I like to hear what Tony says, but just like has that like Bonham power, but just you know also like a lot of feel and everything like that. I'm talking about Janet Weiss from
she's nice.
Wild Flag and Sleater-Kinney and Quasi. Let's hear from the last Sleater-Kinney album. This is called Jumpers.
I am so glad you did all female drummers.
It'll get drummy in a bit.
Don't push me, I am not okay. The sky is blue most every day. The lemons grow like tumors. They are tiny suns infused with sound.
Song about jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Well, that should be a fun thing. Why do people think
exactly.
consider that a bad thing?
I'm jumping.
That is so great that you did All Girls. I love this today.
What do you got for us, Pat?
We're gonna go with. Let me see. Go with a track. That one,
yep.
Number four. Mm-hmm. This is not one of my favorite drummers. But whenever I hear someone talks about a song with drumming, this is the first song that comes into my head. And this is Clem Burke from Blondie. And to me, this is this song, it was written for him to drum.
I'm going to guess Dreamin'?
Yes.
Yes.
Have a lot of that.
When I met you in a restaurant.
It's done. We've heard it.
Nice.
Yeah.
But I love that. Whenever I think of a drum song, that's the first one that pops into my head.
That's the drummiest. Tony, Clem Burke, yay or nay?
I honestly not super familiar, but I
wow.
mean, it good.
I forget. Yeah. I forget we're old.
I know, we're old. It's okay. It's okay.
So what's next on your list?
Well, you said drummy, so I'll go drummiest drum song ever, which is not really my style of drumming, uh-huh. but I've said many times that Hot for Teacher is probably the greatest, most ridiculous drum song ever.
Almost and made my list.
Go to, if you could, go to about 340. It's just one of the breaks, but I love the fill coming back in because it's just so ridiculous. And everyone knows this song, so they know the beat. My favorite fills of all time.
Just talking about this on Never Not Funny is from a professional drummer. Is Alex Van Halen a good drummer?
I think Alex Van Halen is badass. Okay.
Four bass drums though, too much.
Oh yeah,
I was like, gonna say that's the rare quadruple.
That's for show.
Well, he's a weird thing because like I said, that's not really my style that
right.
I get into playing, but I can definitely admire it. And he's a guy that I feel like I can listen to a lot of songs and hear the drums. And at least kind of understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, usually can like figure out what's going on.
Right.
A lot of sections in their songs, I don't understand what's happening.
That's good. That's good. That's nice to hear because I think so many times when you talk about Van Halen, it's all about Eddie. And so it's nice to hear that the brother is proficient on his instrument as well.
Yeah I think he, they started.
Opposite, right. Eddie started on drums and Alex was on guitar. And real quick, while we're at it, let's go around the horn. And Gary, tell me the teacher you were hot for.
Oh, man, that would have to be Miss Perrin, my first grade teacher. Oh, man. Who did she look like? She was just like, she looked like Juliette Binoche or something like that.
That's awesome. Matt. Yeah.
trying to think. There are a couple sprung to mind, but like in retrospect, I don't know why. I think it was just my age and hormones.
Yeah.
But I'll go Miss Valentine.
Miss Valentine.
You get the name alone, you know it's got to be.
Here's a name for you. You can't make this name up. This is Miss Finksler.
Oh, wow.
And she just looked like one of Charlie's Angels.
Wow.
I mean,
what grade was that?
That was like, what grade was that, Gary? That might have been third grade.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy
cow. Yeah, that, same with me, Miss Valentine, third grade.
Wow.
I feel like there was a, I think her name was Miss Early in my high school.
Yeah.
So, and she was, you know,
never
she
was late.
Exactly.
Did not come
well,
late.
She was, the thing was, she was attractive and she was also like not very much older than all of us.
Oh, that's
so
perfect.
Thing.
Yeah. That's perfect.
We had a, in high school, we had a math teacher who would like literally, she was like 21 years old and it was fucking weird because like the seniors, they would like they would flirt with her, and it was like, what the fuck is going on?
I know.
It's like, but it actually makes sense. What's this? Doesn't seem
this
right.
This is a crazy sex class. Yeah. All right.
Do you think that Mary Kay Letourneau has mental problems, or do you think that kid just had some sick?
They're pain? Still together.
Yeah, he must.
If really. You see her interviewed, she seems like she has mental problems. But like, I don't know about if that is the result of everything that's happened,
right?
But or just she was always crazy. But she has crazy eyes.
Who's to say in love?
That's right. Woody Allen says the heart wants when the
heart
wants.
The heart wants what it wants.
Gary, I think you're up with a girl drummer.
I want to play, this is a Portland power trio, but they were one of those rare bands like Mighty Boss Tones and I think Happy Mondays who have like a guy who just dances.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were a group like that. They had this like hip, this older hippie dude who would just dance. They're called Hazel.
Okay.
And they had a couple of cool albums on Sub Pop. And
not to be confused with Sister Hazel.
Not to be confused with Sister Hazel. I kind of like that song a little bit. But this is, why don't you go ahead and start this one? It's called Day Glow. And she's like, she's one of those girls who weighs like, you know, 85 pounds, but just like limbs everywhere. And then like, you know, crazy like manic back.
Just like Miss Finksler.
Like, is Hazel featuring Jody Blail on drums.
It's so funny. I'm so sexist. As soon as I hear that it's going to be all female drummers, I assume the whole band is going to be female.
Oh, right,
and the
right.
singer's going to be female, and that's just the way I think.
Should have went with that.
Not good.
Oh, well.
Go back to the 50s,
yeah,
old man.
I know. We're going to try, for me, it's the song from the album Aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
This is Charlie Watts from the Rolling Stones, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of times people think Charlie Watts is a good timekeeper, and he's fine. Like they I think they lump them in with like a Ringo, mm-hmm. even though I think those guys are fine drummers. Mm-hmm. What do you say, Tony?
I'm not a big Stones guy. Mm-hmm. I am a big, huge Beatles nerd,
yeah.
but and I do love Ringo. He's very weird at times, but
yeah.
I like Ringo a lot. I will say the thing that drives me crazy though about Charlie Watts.
What?
Is he never hits the hi-hat when he hits the snare.
Oh, okay.
He lifts, you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Never, ever, and I've heard that he apparently just doesn't like the way it sounds when they hit at the same time.
Okay.
Which, wow.
You know, fair well, enough. I guess
you
that's
go.
Your thing.
He's
but.
Created a sound. But this, I think this is undeniable. This is some great drumming. Rolling Stones, Paint It Black.
I could not foresee this thing happening to you.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
We're good.
It's back from the era when they were doing that Steve, we're all listening on cans, and so it's like the drums on the left and the guitars right. on the right. It's like, wow, I hate that. It's fine if you're just listening on speakers, but it's in headphones, that drives me crazy.
I know. Well, we're gonna defer now to the professional drummer once again. Tony, you're up.
Well, I'll go with a little known guy named John Bonham. I think if you're...
I know Jason Bonham, but who's this guy? Is this his brother, or...?
I picked A Fool in the Rain, because I think this is, you know, everyone knows the song, but one of the greatest just grooves of all time,
this,
I think.
This will sound crazy, but this, of all the Led Zeppelin songs, this is my favorite Led Zeppelin song. I love this
That's
song.
That's crazy. Yeah, I could see
I
that.
Love it.
Well, it's a little atypical, so it seems weird. Like, yeah. Zeppelin fans probably want like something
right.
harder, but it is.
Exactly.
It's pretty. It's one of their catchiest songs.
Yeah, and it's a little more slickly produced.
It just feels so good, and I love the way the drums sound on it. And the subtle stuff that he's doing with his left hand is so good.
The subtle stuff that I used to do with my left hand when I would think about Miss Spencer.
Oh, man.
Now, you would use the jazz grip, right? Like, when you would.
Sure, I would. Show up, make it all right. It's all right. Love it.
You can stop it. Everybody knows this song.
Yeah, I get it.
Tony, can you do any of that fancy stick twirling?
Not well. I can attempt it. That was never a big focus for me.
I think you should practice the fundamentals.
Who's the most overrated drummer in rock? And just because I'm sure he's on my list and I don't want to play him.
I might have to think about that.
But you've seen someone once and you're like, that guy's fucking bullshit.
I'm blanking at the moment.
All right, well,
it'll come to you.
We'll play some more and then.
Okay,
yeah,
it'll come to you.
Pat will probably play it and then you'll
I probably will. Yeah, that's that. It's the Clem Burke from Blondie.
You know who I like? I never like really thought about of like his artistry that much. I just thought, oh, he's a celebrity or something like that. But who seems to have a lot of cred is old Travis Barker, right? He's not too shabby.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We've actually toured with them multiple times and watching him do the things he does in person are just. I can't like the Alex Van Halen thing, but it's just I don't know what's happening. It's just going so fast and just it's
like insane. They have an extra arm somewhere.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I've seen him play before with I've seen him play with a broken arm and I've seen him play with a broken leg.
Oh Jesus!
He once had his arm like in a sling plate and had like extra pedals like Def Leppard style
so he could do,
and was just doing everything I think with his left hand and a bunch of pedals.
I still maintain that the guy from Def Leppard, they should have just attached a giant drumstick to the stage. That would have been great for a show closer. He hits the gong with that thing. Just
shaped like a chicken drumstick.
Sure.
And then they could have sponsored the whole thing out.
Why not? See, there you go. Gary, you're up with one of the ladies.
Check out this is she's probably the she's the den mother of alternative rock and a big comedy fan. Like they have like a lot of cool videos with like Mr. Show and stuff. It's Georgia Hubley from the great group Yola Tango, and this is a song called Sugar Cube. Listen to this.
It was like he was speaking Japanese. Oh my God.
Mastermind, but a lot of feeling.
I like it.
Some good stuff. More of a Meg Whiteish sound.
I wanted to add. Yeah, I wanted to ask Tony about Meg White because I love the White Stripes, but she's fucking. She's not even drumming sometimes, right? I mean,
it baffles me. I've heard a lot of people say that you know, it's the way Jack White saw it, and he wanted it real, just like rigid and weird and choppy, but it drives me a little crazy.
Well, she doesn't like hold, like, she can't really, it's like a singer who can't carry a tune sometimes. That's kind of like,
yeah, it's real
doesn't
weird,
bother
I think.
Me, like, I actually like their music,
yeah,
anyway,
I do too,
but it's like, I like it, and sometimes in spite of what she's doing.
Yeah, it's definitely weird, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to go off too much on that. I just feel weird.
I didn't want to put you in a weird spot. I don't know anything about drumming. And like, I've heard people say, like some people kind of feel like, actually, she, well, maybe technically not like amazing, she sort of brings something unique. And that's true. I guess, I mean, it is unique. I've
always thought that Jack White is super talented. And for years, I always said, I would love to hear him with a bass player and a great drummer. Yeah. And then the Rack on Tours came out, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The solo album, too.
I like that a lot as well.
Yeah.
Cool.
So,
Francis,
enjoy your residual checks, Meg. Jack has moved on.
We can all agree she's a great singer, though. Those couple of tracks where she sings, oh my God.
Now, look.
That's Yoko.
At least she's got territory. Her looks. At least she's got her looks. Let's go.
So unfair.
I know, so not.
Triple. We just like triple smashed somebody.
I know, someone that's more successful than me.
Gary's very silent. Are you related to her distantly or something?
He used to be in a band. Anyway, that
is that true?
No.
I'm sure she's a nice person.
Yeah.
Lovely.
She's got her health.
And I'll say this, I've seen them live a couple times, and it's a great live show. Like, doesn't interfere, but what the fuck do I know about anything? But it still is an awesome show. But
yeah.
Well, look, if you want to talk about putting on a show, we got to go to track 5 with this band, Queen. Oh, this is Roger Taylor, and this is Keep Yourself Alive. Check this out. We'll take you
on your time and the money. Solo.
Yeah. Love Roger Taylor, love Queen.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's actually a little underrated, I think.
I think so too. I really do.
Have you ever seen the, I forget which record, I think Night at the Opera? The classic albums?
Yeah.
Because he talks in that about him playing on certain songs. He talks about his signature sound being when he hits the snare, he opens the hi-hat every time. And
that's cool.
It was something I never really thought about. And then when he pointed out, I was like, "That he does do that all the time."
Wow, that's cool.
Interesting. Do you have a move like that? What's your...
I don't think so, no. I'm not original enough.
When I was goofing around the garage with some friends, and I'd never played drums, but the only piece of advice I got was like, when you hit a cymbal, hit the bass drum. That's a thing. That's a thing.
Yeah, that's a pretty good rule. Every now and then, you know, there's little things you can do every now and then where you don't need to do. Actually, I feel like I did the opposite of that for the first time ever on the new record.
Really?
Yeah.
Breaking down barriers.
Is there one drummer that does not conform to any of these rules that you can think of?
Meg White, perhaps.
Okay, terrific.
See?
Well, I think that's
a
compliment.
She's like jazz, man. We're just not there. She's way ahead of us.
Tony's up.
Oh,
Tony's on deck.
Let's see. I will go with. I'll do another.
Drummers for 100.
Yes, another weird one that probably a lot of people don't know. The song is called Pacific 231. It's by a band called Burning Airlines, and the drummer is named Pete Moffitt. And this is a real weird drum song.
All right. Is your fragility wanting so bad to be crushed? You leave it up to me to do the
crushing. And if sincerity making a... So once again falls in the category of I don't understand what's happening. But I love it. Bring on the news then. Pacific 231, we're not colluding on the rails. Skate up to speed.
That's
great.
Never heard of that.
That's
cool.
Really good.
Yeah, they're a really cool band. Kind of a short-lived band. I think they... Two or three records. I think it's just two records. But I really like that band. They came from... Are you familiar with Jawbox?
Have sure,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah. Jay Robbins from Jawbox. Okay. That was his band after Jawbox.
Neat.
And yeah, cool band.
Oh, Jay Robbins?
Oh, you're talking about Jawbox, too.
Yeah, yeah. Jawbox. Yeah. Yeah. Certainly Jawbox.
Named after an Eno song, I think.
Of course. I'm just going to agree with anything you say.
That's cool. Thank you very much. This is a little bit of obscurity, too. This was a Boston band from the 80s, and this album is so impossible to find, but I loved it so much. This is actually, a vinyl rip I did just to... So I could hear it all the time because, it's like way out of print. But it was a band called Christmas. And the drummer is this gal named Liz Cox, who is the daughter, for you game show enthusiasts, of Wally Cox, Mr. Peepers.
Oh, my God.
Who was always on Hollywood Squares. And I love Christmas so much. And they kind of transmogrified into Combustible Edison. Do you remember them in the 80s? And which is kind of like a lounge act. But this was kind of their avant-garde pop act. And this song is called Loved Ones from the album In Excelsior De Glo. Loves me, guess I'll go eat worms. Loved ones, all right. Christmas. That's good luck looking that up on Google.
Finding that anywhere. Yeah.
Christmas album. No, I don't want. I'll burn that for you if anybody wants that.
Well, let me jump into my next cliche choice. It's Keith Moon. From Who's Next? Yeah, he's underrated. This is a song called Bargain from what I consider the best rock album of all time, Who's Next? Moon, wish he was still around.
The most fun to watch. Makes the funniest faces, body moving independently, like the right side doesn't know what the left side
doesn't seem like he's even playing what you're hearing.
Exactly.
It's really weird.
It's like, is this out of sync? What is this? What is going on?
In some of those old 60s, he would hold the sticks like this.
Like people, puppets.
Like puppets.
Yeah. That's crazy. Right. Well, he was the inspiration for Animal.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And, fun fact about myself and Keith Moon. Yeah. Keith Moon died the day before I was born.
That is crazy. So maybe his soul.
Clearly, I was.
Jumped into you. Yeah. Reborn.
Wouldn't that be great?
I was supposed to replace Keith
Moon. I'm not mom. Do you guys see the new Muppet movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where they try to get where they want to keep Animal down. So he's just his mantra is in control. I love that.
Yeah. In control.
Tony's, I think it was your Facebook avatar for a while was a picture of you with Animal. Or maybe
I met
Animal?
I did. He was great.
Nice to meet Rick Ocasek.
I'm a big Muppet nerd. And I'm good friends with the guys in OK Go.
Oh,
and
cool.
When they shot the Muppet video, I basically begged Dan, their drummer, to let me come to the shooting. And I got to meet Animal and Gonzo. They were the two I got to meet.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
Gonzo is like from another planet, man. Let me tell you something about that guy.
Coke fiend.
With that nose.
Yeah.
Tony, what do you got? What do you got stashed in your bass drum?
For my last one, another, everyone knows this guy, but I tried to go a different route, yet it's a song everyone knows, although the song is called No One Knows. I didn't plan that. I swear to God, that was not planned. Dave Grohl, the Queens of the Stone Age record that he played on.
Oh, nice.
I think this, everybody knows this song, but this is an awesome performance. Go like a minute in, I think, but I just... The patterns he plays on this, and it's a little showier, I think, for Dave Grohl also.
I'm going to jump because I don't notice drums that much in songs, but the end of this song is, it's so cool.
Go
like
ahead.
It's so unique and it really jumps out.
The Queens of the Stone Age.
Yep. Not quite.
Yeah, I forgot the whole outro there.
They have a Detroit Rock City skit on the album.
Yeah.
I think that hi-hat opening is like a hook to the song too for me.
Nice.
Just a nice little simple.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, I had a Foo Fighter song on my list, but we won't play it now. But I just like the intro to My Hero is just.
It's great.
Oh yeah,
I love that guy. He's one of like the best drummers to watch because I love guys that just beat the shit out of their drums
and
as
yet
long as they're still good.
And yet it's weird now because we really don't get to see him play drums anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we actually played the Bamboozle Festival in New Jersey a few weeks ago, and they headlined the day we played.
Oh, wow.
And I got to watch a little bit of their set, and for one song, he went back and played drums, and Taylor came up front and sang.
Oh, nice. And
I saw him play drums with the D. Suck on that.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah.
You think it's hard for him to let Taylor play drums on the records right now? You think it's...
I've wondered about that.
It's probably a relief in a way. He doesn't seem like, you know, like a creditor or anything like that, and he probably would just as soon
Taylor's pretty badass his own, so I think those guys are like best friends, so
yeah.
I think that they probably have a pretty good understanding of each other. I'll bet he, you know, probably has his moments where he's like, you should do this right there, but I don't know.
They should bring two kits out at one point.
Oh, there you
let
go.
Those guys go to town a la Leonard Skinner or Doobie Brothers.
Yeah.
That's like that. You ever heard that old Todd Berry bit about bands with two drummers?
No. Maybe I have. Say.
The gist of it is, Danny's like, if you're a drummer and you join a band that already has a drummer, you are an asshole.
I have heard that. Yeah, two drummers, that never makes any sense.
No. Maybe the people are just kind of people pleasing. They can't fire the other guy.
I guess
guy,
so.
Like,
yeah.
And Todd Berry, decent drummer himself.
I've heard that. I've only seen his bongo playing on Flight of the Conchords.
If you go to the Onion has those cover version things, and he's playing with Mates of State.
That's right. I heard about that, but I never looked it up.
Cool.
But there was a Taylor Hawkins's. Oh, he's going to play Iggy Pop in a movie.
Yeah, I read that this morning.
Hawkins's?
Yeah, that's
cool.
Yeah, they're doing a CBGB's movie.
Yeah, that's
right?
It. That's what it is. And also.
Guy definitely doesn't like to wear a shirt either, so it's perfect.
And there was somebody that reminds me of kind of that Dave Grohl and Animal style. Oh, the guy from Silver Sun Pickups. Do you ever play with him that much?
I've never actually played. I've met that guy, but I've never played a show with him.
He is wild. Yeah, it's just like, just hair everywhere. And
nice.
He looks like he'll bite you.
You got another lady, lady on your list?
Yeah, man. This lady's pretty much the same as Dave Grohl. She's pretty wild. And we got to give it, known mostly for her vocals, but also kick-ass drummer. Of course, I'm talking about Karen Carpenter, For All We Know, on Rock Solid.
She gonna solo?
I wish. There's some good YouTube videos of her going bananas.
Look at the two of us. Stranger.
Gary something better fucking happen in this song.
Yeah, there better be some drumming.
You are going to be exiled from Rock Solid.
Come to think of it,
I could play this.
This is probably Hal Blaine anyway, so maybe we should move on.
But I just nothing's really happening, is there? All right.
You thought you'd look so cool doing all women. Next thing you know.
I had some other ones, but I just...
Yeah, you could have... No Gina Shock in there?
Oh,
the Go-Go's?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I forgot. I'm sorry.
I want to play... I have a couple more. I won't play them all. But I do want to... this is a band I just got into recently, and they're from the 70s, and their drummer's name is Brian Downey, and it's Thin Lizzy, and this is a song called Bad Reputation. I doubt if anyone... Have you ever heard the name Brian Downey?
I don't. I mean, I know Thin Lizzy. Well, I don't know that I know the Brian Downey.
Here we go. He's the drummer. That bad reputation has made you... Brian Downey.
Nice. I love the sound of 70s drums.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. That was a good piece of business in there. And then let's jump from that to, it's really 90s, 91, but for 80s drum sound, let's go with Use Your Illusion 2. This is Matt Sorum.
Yes.
And this is You Could Be Mine.
Love that opening fill.
I know, it's amazing.
Please tell me it's going to be Tom Cruise on vocals.
No, this is really Guns. Let it play a little bit longer. Yeah, I love Matt Sorum. I like him with Guns and Velvet Revolver, and when he plays with the Cult, I think he's great. I think he's better than Steven Adler personally.
I've heard him play like big band stuff before too, and he killed it.
Yeah, he looks cool. He's a drummer. I love it. So people that did, I didn't play. We didn't play Foo Fighters. We didn't play. I had Zeppelin. I had Good Times, Bad Times. I had Neil Peart from Rush. I was going to play some Tom Sawyer, but I don't want to not play the guy from the bottom. Two examples.
I think Tony had this guy too.
Okay, so start with the first. You know, this is one of the best drummers I've ever seen live. So much fun to watch.
Yes,
Stuart Copeland.
Oh yeah,
this is one of my favorite Police songs too.
Oh cool. Then played One World, Not Three. I love Stuart Copeland.
Somebody described this sound, maybe it was him, as a guy falling downstairs. That kind of captures it, huh?
Yeah, just yeah, that is good.
Chaos, but rhythmic and everything else.
I was so bummed when I saw the Police, the reunion tour, and it just felt like everything was slowed down, and you could see that Stuart Copeland just wanted to break out from behind that kit, but Sting was keeping it a little bit.
Yeah, the old clips, though, they would play everything so fast.
I know, it was great before Sting bought a castle and was knighted and...
Yeah, he's just a machine.
Yeah, he's like, a great,
he's one of those guys,
great drummer.
I think all drummers love him.
Yeah,
you have
I think
to.
So, and again, fun to watch.
Yeah.
So.
Anybody else we forgot to mention that needs some recognition? That this is a good show. This is a good survey. DJ Bonebreak from X. He's really good. I was going to bring in that. There's this clip, and you ever see that Decline of Western Civilization.
Oh yeah,
part one, and that where he's like making eggs in the kitchen, but then he kind of demonstrates all these beats where like every part of his body is doing like a different rhythm, but it all like comes together. It's seek that out on YouTube, kids. Anybody else that needs a shout out?
Yeah, I I'll get into like certain songs. I don't usually freak out about certain drummers. Like it's like moments for me.
Yeah,
and so I really like overthought this whole knowing I had to pick some stuff. But a guy I will say that is actually not known for being a drummer, but I think is a great drummer, and I'm just a huge fan of, is Ben Folds.
Oh, really?
I'm a huge Ben Folds fan, sometimes he plays everything on all his records, and he's a fantastic drummer.
He's just musical. Yeah.
His solo record, Rockin' the Suburbs, he plays everything on that record, and it's just everything is good.
He'll probably write something for Broadway sometime. He should do a little bit of everything.
I can see that. Well, I have to say, I was a little disappointed when I showed up here today because I had understood that Tony Braxton was going to be here.
sure.
Yeah, I've only been hearing that for about 20 years now. Thanks.
I made this joke all day yesterday.
but
you have to.
This was a suitable replacement. This is very exciting.
Yeah, that was. She was very like. The Michael Bolton thing in office space for me, because it was like my name was fine my whole life, and then like right around when I started high school she
God
showed up and everyone thought they were hilarious. Yeah. And I was the new kid in school.
Oh,
so.
No.
The thing is, your career is still going up. That's the difference. That's what people need to know.
But he did have an ill-fated romance with Jason Kidd.
You promised we wouldn't talk
about that. Sorry about that. But let's talk about Motion City Soundtrack Go.
It comes out this week. June 12th.
June 12th.
Correct.
Go get it right now. It's so,
look,
so good.
Thank you.
Buy it. Go to iTunes. Yeah, we'll play out with some. Go to iTunes. Buy a physical copy. Just buy. Let's move.
See
some,
there.
Let's
write
move
a little
product.
Review of Rock Solid and skip on over and download.
And write a review of this.
And do you have a website, Facebook page, anything you want to promote?
Yeah, all that. MotionCitySoundtrack.com. All our tour dates will be up there. The band's Twitter is Motion City Music. The band name was too long for Twitter. My Twitter is @TonyThaxton.
And the date again for the Amoeba show?
It's the day of release, June 12th.
And then you're also playing the Troubadour?
Troubadour 15th. On the 15th. Okay, and then great. We'll be all through the U.S. and other countries after that.
Thanks, Tony. This is great.
Thank you,
Matt. Thank you, Gary. Sure.
Thank you, Pat.
What are we playing?
That was going to be the proof. We go, thank you all around, and you drop us right down with some fucking crazy rock.
You know what? Let's play the other single. Let's play Timelines.
Timelines.
Let's try it again. Thank you. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
Nah.
Through the broken glass, the echoes of my ancient past came flooding into every pore like scattered seeds of sycamore. Suddenly I started wondering how I got here. Was it a matter of time? Until the age of 12, discovered sex at 17, and soon thereafter self-esteem. The days did not matter, and years were a lifetime away. Drowning in a heavy stock of teenage girls and indie rock, I flunked out of each college course and set myself.